Are all sins equal? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Light.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Light, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. Pete Allen, my pastor, has come in. And we do that for a number of reasons, because I like Pete, because he says profound things, because he's my pastor and knows dirt on me, and I want him to be partnership with me in this, because he's on our board and they pay my salary. Because it's just good to have you here on Fridays. Anyway, Pete, thanks for coming in. We love to get your questions. You gotta write them down. Send them to Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida 32794. Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N38533. You can email us at steve@keylife.org, but be sure and include your regular mailing address if you want an answer. And you get an answer from me or a staff member on the broadcast or in the magazine. And don't use the 1-800-KEYLIFE number. You can get pamphlets free, the dates free. You can get the magazine free. You make a contribution, but you got to write your questions down. So, Pete, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll turn to these questions.
All right. Father, today we do come into your presence, and Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we honor you and worship you. We recognize you created us, and that Jesus saved us, and that the Holy Spirit continues to be our helper and guide and companion, one very close to us and in us, and we are safe because we're wrapped up in you. Lord, we honor you today. We look forward to this weekend where we can gather with the rest of your people and worship. And Lord, if we don't have a church yet, I pray that you'd help us find one and help us to connect up. And we pray for our leaders that you'd be with those who are going to teach us and lead us in worship. Be with our worship leaders and pastors, priests, the teachers that will be standing in front of us. Lord, help them to teach us the word and to explain it and help us apply it. And then, Lord, by your Spirit, help us apply it and to live the grace that you have shown us in your Son. So, Lord, we look forward to that. And now we have some questions, and we ask that you would give us wisdom as we deal with them, that we wouldn't spread any error, but that your truth, as always, would prevail. Be with Steve in this ministry. Bless it, Lord, and provide for it. We ask that more and more could know more about the grace that we have in Christ. We commit our time to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pete, the first question is from Florida. Are all sins equal?
Are there mortal and venial sins? Are there, yeah. Is there a hierarchy? Yeah, I'd say, you know, there sure does seem to be some biblical warrant for some sins being worse than others on a practical level, but before God, God is holy, and a violation of one aspect of the law is a violation of the whole law.
Yeah.
Right? Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. And our righteousness is as a rag that I washed my car with last week.
Yeah, it does seem like, you know, a little white lie is not near as bad as murder.
Oh, I think you have to put your mind on hold. You know, I have the brains of an amoeba to say there's no difference. And I don't know anybody that, you know, that hasn't recently had an attack of sanity that wouldn't, of course, agree with that. Mm-hmm. Which is not to say that white lie is okay, and that murder isn't, but it's to say there are some sins which do cause incredible damage, mm-hmm. and there are other sins that cause less damage. Mm-hmm. If you're a pagan and thinking, well, if I can only do the little ones, I can get to heaven. No, you can't, because you've done all, I mean, that's the same as doing the big ones.
That's right, that's right.
But within the church, I'd sure rather have somebody tell a white lie than steal from the treasurer stealing from the offering plate.
Yeah.
Because one does affect your salary and one.
Yeah, you're right.
Of course, there is a hierarchy of sin, and that's common sense.
You know, in the one theological structure that says a mortal sin kills your salvation and a venial sin does not, you know, that's no good. I mean, that's not biblical.
And this is a particularly Protestant answer to that. A mortal sin for us, it's a sin that leads to death, physical death. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, my father was an alcoholic, and I believe that contributed to his death. Mm-hmm. You and I both have done funerals for people where cirrhosis of the liver was the primary cause of the death. And so that becomes a mortal sin. The drunkenness is a mortal sin. And we realize there are other views of that, but we don't believe you lose your salvation.
That's right. That's right.
Or I don't can't lose mine. You might have lost
yours. Probably am. Are all our sins forgiven? Yeah, they
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
In Christ.
You know, I've told that so often on this broadcast because I think God wanted me to. But Jeffrey Dahmer was reading my book on grace when he was killed in prison.
I think about that every once in a while.
And I thought, this evangelist, a wonderful man, wrote me a letter and just said, I thought you ought to know he had your book on grace open on his bed when they killed him. And for those of you who don't remember who Jeffrey Dahmer is, he was the guy who invited people to dinner and ate them for dinner. I mean, I don't want to make fun of it because it was awful. It was so. And I just thought, Lord, no. I mean, I wouldn't mind a murderer reading my book on grace or somebody had robbed a bank, but not Jeffrey Dahmer. And I sensed that God said, if it's not true for him, it's not true for anybody.
Mm.
So, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's a powerful thing. I think his conversion was real, and you know, from what I heard.
I don't know. All I know is what I, and you know, who knows? I learned, you know what my philosophy is? I got this from Bruce Fogarty, a friend of mine in Dallas. Forgive them all and let God decide.
Not a bad philosophy.
But we talked about internal security. That's an email question. Which is the next question, what is your position on eternal security, once they've always said?
Yeah, well, we're classic and historic Presbyterians, so we believe in perseverance of the saints or preservation of the saints. We're really, you know, yeah, sure, we will persevere in our faith. We will stay Christians because God preserves us. He keeps us. He holds us. And that's what eternal security is.
Yeah.
So we're there.
And I believe most Christians, Bible-believing Christians, whether they're Wesleyan or Calvinist, believe in that in one form or
the other.
I think most Wesleyans would say, well, yeah, theoretically you'd lose your salvation, but you can't every time you sin lose your salvation.
Yeah.
I mean, they would see it as something far more profound than that.
Yeah.
And so most people believe that God holds us and that we walk with him. And if it were up to us, we probably would have lost it a long time ago. let me see. Well, that was the next. I mean, it's almost like you answered the next question before I get to the next question. This is from Florida, too. Are our sins forgiven? Were we justified completely and totally by the vicarious sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Do we have to be guilty anymore?
You know, that question sounds like it's written from somebody who knows that that's the truth but doesn't feel it.
Yeah.
I'm with you there. You know, I know that, yes, the whole vicarious atonement of Christ, he did it for us, and it was complete and, you know, thorough, absolute. But there's times when we just can't feel it, and we don't feel it.
Me too.
And it's hard to understand how we could be so cruddy and sinful, and yet those sins be paid for.
But they are. They're all paid for. Do I have to feel guilt anymore? Yes, because guilt is God's methodology to hug you. You're not guilty because you've lost your salvation. You're guilty. Guilt has one purpose for the believer, and none other. Guilt is to drive you to the throne.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say, "Well, you'll be mad at me," then your guilt is wasted.
Mm-hmm.
So it drives you to the throne. So you get better and you get forgiven,
mm-hmm.
and that's the only place you get better and the only place you get forgiven. Well, you're forgiven before you went.
So yeah, exactly. But do you think that's like we're always going to experience a certain degree of the cycle of guilt and shame and forgiveness.
And which is not biblical guilt. I mean, oh, of course.
Right.
I mean, it sounds so clear. And there are a lot of people listening to this broadcast who heard what you and I just said and said, but of course, now I can deal with it.
Yeah.
You ain't going to deal with it. You're still going to feel guilty and not go before the throne. You're still going to think what you said. How can I be so bad and know that my sins are forgiven? Because that's the nature of a fallen world. But don't forget the truth.
That's right.
And that's one reason why we need church on the weekends. That's why we need Sunday, is to be reminded, that's right. I feel so guilty and dirty. And sometimes I feel like, I got to get another message.
I've been saying
the same things for a lot of years, but that's the only message that means anything.
Oh, I agree. And I you don't have the same message for years, but there's always the grace that's a part of it. And that we preach the gospel to each other, as Martin Luther said, lest we become discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
People get healed today. That's from North Carolina.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I don't believe it. Well, that's good. Just a simple yes or no, Jesus did, right?
Yeah.
This is a little bit more complicated. What does the Bible teach about church discipline? Do it. The next question.
Right. Matthew 18, right?
Yes,
it's interesting that Jesus is the one that instituted church discipline for the purity and peace of the church. And that we would sometimes, when we get stuck in our sin, a more mature brother comes along and says, hey, man, you need to face it. Let's go.
Yeah, I agree. You know what I'm uncomfortable about church discipline about, because it's misused so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's misused by not doing it at all,
mm-hmm.
and it's misused by self-righteous Pharisees looking for anybody who isn't the way they are and disciplining them because they're not.
Yeah.
And I think those two extremes are sinful.
Absolutely. I mean, those churches that like to do church discipline scare me.
Oh, me too.
I heard the church that had a committee on discipline. It was a standing sort of church committee, and it was called the Discipline Committee. And I know that the Old Testament word, you know, in Proverbs where it talks about the person who is really wise will seek the discipline of the Lord. The word is musar, could be translated instruction. And so discipline, in that Old Testament sense, is instruction. It's not, you know, whipping somebody. And some people like it in more that way. I like to wield the rod. And if that's what they mean by discipline, it's that.
Yeah. Unless, of course, it's the pastor. It's good. You can get a significant raise if you want to. Let me see. This is a retort. No, we don't have time. But it's a great question. We'll deal with it next Friday. He's from Georgia, and that's all. That's called a teaser, so you'll be sure to be listening next Friday. First, I want to thank you for coming again next Friday.
Yeah, we'll see you.
Whenever you write a call, do me a favor and give us the call letters of the station where you hear Eli. One other thing, Eli is a production of Eli's Network.